We would wish to officially welcome you all, brethren, to this convention. We've had them each year over the many years, and we recognize it as the convention time of the year. You start in March, April, May, June, July, skip a month, maybe August, maybe you might go somewhere in August too, and then you come into late in July. You've got a couple in July, Prince Albert, you've got Langley Prairie coming up, and then you come into November, October in Bellingham. And so you have a whole sequence here in which you can make your choice and fellowship together for building each other up in the most holy faith, a very valuable experience. The word welcome, as you might be very familiar with, has the thought of cordiality, welcome, guests, pleasure, and hospitality. These are all combined in the thought of welcome. All these aspects, facets of welcome, we extend to you from the Vancouver Ecclesia. This explanation with the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 rather express our feelings on behalf of you coming here to make the convention. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Paul speaking, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This be our greeting to you. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, in heavenly places. So we are reminded that we will be sitting figuratively in heavenly places. We will have our respective places in our seats. But spiritually, as the Lord said, my words are spirit and they are truth. And we have learned as Bible students to interpret his word in the sense of the spiritual aspects of so much that is recounted in the Bible as well as literal accounts. So we will sit in heavenly places together. And what will we be doing there? Well, 1 Timothy 4, 13 to 16, we might help us and to remember what we will be doing jointly as well, our brethren from the platform. And so we read, till I come, Paul says, give attendance to exhortation. We will expect that from our brethren that have been chosen to serve us for our well-being. Give attention to exhortation to doctrine. Yes, we must not neglect doctrine. It all has its proper place in the structure of Christian faith. Then he says, go a little further, not just take care of the head section, but he says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, completely. Or as Brother Russell has made the comment, the truth is not something to be told merely, it is something to be felt. Unless the truth enters in and we feel it and becomes a part of us, it's the whole secret then of our lessons that we study together, whether in class or together at convention. Give thyself wholly to them and let thy profiting appear to all. And thus our joint responsibility to each other. As we endeavor to live these things, then we have an influence. And it goes further than that. Take heed unto thyself. That's important. Not the other person at this first aspect, but to ourselves. How are we doing as we measure before our Lord? Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So the best blessings that Sister Millie here will receive will take home on a tape. And to those that will hear thee as we pass on the influence of this convention, as you add it to your list of conventions as you journey towards Zion's Hill. All this in the Christian life. So we are thankful to Paul for the mutual benefit. We're in a mutual benefit organization, association. We are just not a law unto ourselves, but it is a very mutual affair of the Christian life. And the further we go and the longer we go, the more we begin to realize that every part of the body is needed. And so we come here to share together and then to share not only with those here, but to those that we meet in our paths along the way. And that's the blessed aspect of the Christian life. Looking at Peter and Paul talking again to the young brother Timothy, he had so much to say to him. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. It is not just the aspect of somebody telling you something from here. It is your conviction that is necessary to make this thing work in your life. To be assured of it. That is the suggestion of proving it out to your own satisfaction. And when you have done that, then it is a wholesome experience. And then he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And this was the case with Timothy, of course, his mother and his grandmother, Lois. And many here from a child had the spirit of devotion to the Lord. And as you came to the age of maturity and dedicated your life, then that was another further step in this blessed experience that Paul is talking to Timothy about. And then he goes on, which are able to make thee wise, that is the Scriptures, are able to make thee wise unto salvation. So all that the brethren will tell us will focus back on these letters from our Heavenly Father. They have not been decoded through the centuries. We are living in a very favored time, and we know that, don't we, brethren? We are living in the Laodicea period. A servant was sent to assist in the decoding of the message that is here. So we are not only very favored, but we are additionally very much more responsible for what we know, and to use to his praise and glory. All Scripture, our source then, is given by inspiration of God, is profitable. Again, we will hear a balanced diet here of doctrine for reproof. Yes, we will sit there and we will receive some reproof from our brethren who are doing so for our each individual well-being. They will do it in love to instruct and guide us. For reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that we may go away from here to the higher standard of everything that pertains to the Christian life. That's the whole matter of meeting together. It's not to display your ability and the other's ability of what you may understand of the truth. It is so that we can share together and remember that it is for our mutual instruction in righteousness. And the highest standard of godliness and righteousness is what we're aiming at. So we are going to be encouraged to keep our aim as high as possible, not to lower it under any condition. And finally, he says, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And as Brother Russell mentions in Ephesians 2, we are saved by grace, not saved by good works, but we are saved from Adamic condemnation for good works. And it's not an evolution of the old, is it? A new creature is a new creation. So, brethren, we welcome you here to the Vancouver Ecclesiastes Convention of this year, and we thank you for your presence, for your energies, cost, and time to come and to build us up, as well as our brethren who will serve to build each one of us up. So may the Lord add his blessing to our mutual fellowship, whether it be from here or on the floor, that we can share together an exchange of the things that Paul was really talking about. So may the Lord bless you and care for you during these 2 days together. We open our convention with having the privilege of having Brother John Altschuli with us, and we are happy for his services in the past. And Brother Van will ask the blessing upon the service. But let us turn with the spirit of brother's choice of service is the hope of our inheritance. On the front of our program is Ephesians 3, 16 to 19 will be his subject matter, the hope of our inheritance. So let us sing together 105, 105.
We are the darling, gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We come into thy presence this morning at this convention of those of our like precious faith, that we might learn more of thy divine plans and purposes, that we may appreciate the blessings that have been granted unto each of us. We ask thy special blessing now on our brother John Olchowi as he delivers to us the message from thy word. Bless his lips that his message may be informing, enlightening, and that we may be benefited thereby to the extent that we may appreciate more and more thy divine plans and purposes for us and for all mankind. We ask thy blessing on this convention, those who have served us to work hard to get this arrangement underway, to help us to appreciate the blessings of the privilege of coming together, to serve together, to worship together, and give thanks and praise unto thee for all thy goodness and mercy. In Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Van. The blessing of the Lord we cannot lose, can we? Two little things to mention. There are cards on the back table there on the left that the sisters will set up their names, and those that are ill, Sister Jane, others, just drop a little line on there. Sunday school at 11:15 will be downstairs in under the platform here. There's a room. Sunday school at 11:15 for your children. Now, we do appreciate having Brother John with us. He's going to speak in two tongues, English predominantly. One, he will scatter a little salting of the Polish as well. He's very good. He's been a great help to us in the past in doing that. For the sake of a few, most Polish brethren though understand English, but we want them to feel at home as well. And so may the Lord add his blessing, Brother John, and his service in this present hope of our inheritance.
Thank you, Brother Charles. Good morning, brethren. I and Mary, Sister Mary, are very grateful to our Heavenly Father who gave us that opportunity to be at the convention with you, brethren. We greatly appreciate the privilege to be with brethren and to share the blessing which we believe Lord will provide for us. We bring you love and greeting from both Ecclesia in Winnipeg. Our topic, as was mentioned this morning, will be hope of high calling and the inheritance of the saints, according to the theme text of the convention. Apostle Paul was the last man to be chosen as an apostle. He had great knowledge of God's plan and great revelation, vision greater than the other apostle. And all that he used for upbuilding of the churches of those who became the followers of Christ. His main concern respecting himself was to glorify God, to serve him faithfully, to preach the gospel. He said that it will be, if he won't preach the gospel, will be for him no good. And to come to the mark of price of high calling and secure that mark, that he might attain the resurrection from the dead, the first resurrection. His main concern respecting the other brethren was that they be gradually filled with knowledge of God and Christ, with the knowledge of God's will. In Colossians 1:9-10, he writes, "We not cease to praise for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all wisdom of spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." In Philippians 9:11 we read, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and judgment, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Similarly, he writes to Thessalonians 3:10-13. His care and love for the brethren didn't diminish during his own personal trial and difficulty, but continued to the end of his consecrated life. We read in 2 Corinthians 11:28, beside this thing, various difficulty what we had, are without, that which come to me daily, the care of all the churches. He had in mind the care, the welfare of churches. For Apostle Paul, he is a great example for us. He is the most faithful follower of Christ and great example as the soldier of cross. As he himself said, quite important, that as one of reason why he was chosen was that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were believing in him for eternal life. He was called apostle for Gentiles, but his letter he gave to us, especially to Hebrew, give us key explanation, more understanding than the other apostle gave about the meaning of the law and this ceremony connected with it, and all those sacrifices, he gave us key to understand, because he himself understood law better than the other. So, dear brethren, our theme is Ephesians 1:16-19. We'll read that to remind. He said he ceases not to give thanks to God for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In many places, Bible mentioned the knowledge of God. Apostle Peter, even Christ said, so the knowledge of God, his plan, his will, is imperative for Lord people. We have to know. We have to know doctrine. We have to know how we can develop spiritually. Because that's the same as its children in school. Those who progress only are those who know, who are diligent, who knows what step they should take next. So, knowledge of him, the eye of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of mighty power. Apostle Peter said that we are kept by power of God. Only by power and help of God, the great work developing in us, developing to the likeness of Christ, can be accomplished. In previous verses, Apostle Paul tell us about God's mystery. We didn't read, but it is connected, which he revealed to us according to his good pleasure, that we should be to the praise of his glory. In verse 13, he said that when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, and after accepted and believed in it, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. It is important to have in mind that earnest. The high calling, heavenly calling of the church is always referred by apostle as a mystery, as something hard to understand, a secret thing. Not so with the calling and hope of the world. Restitution is clearly predicted and described by prophet. Here, mankind come back to human perfection. There will be no sickness, no pain, no worry, no death. So we can more or less conceive of the perfection of human body and mind. The scriptures tell us that the whole earth will be like a beautiful garden. But to understand the high calling, the hope of new creation, requires something more than human ability, not human mind. So those who receive the Holy Spirit and who earnestly study the scripture can understand more and more what is the hope of high calling, the inheritance of saints. They will not understand fully what is spiritual nature, what is the glory of the mind nature of God, Son of God. And it does not, Apostle John says, Beloved, now we are Son of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. That means complete understanding what it will be. After first resurrection, we can have it, because our mind is limited to understand those things. But he said, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him. What is hope? Hope is the desire with expectation to receive, to obtain that what was promised, that what we wanted. For us, hope and faith are inseparated alike. That what we have to understand. For this can be no real hope without well-grounded faith. We know that Apostle said in Hebrews 11:1, the faith is the substance or assurance of things hoped for. Therefore, the basis for our hope is faith in the exceeding and great precious promises of God. That is the base of our hope. But to have faith, we must have a knowledge of the matter. We have to have information. How shall Apostle Paul said, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Romans 10:14. And in 17 he said, so then, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, brethren, this tells us that the more we study the word of God, the stronger will be our faith, the stronger will be our hope. Importance of hope. In Corinthians 13:13, Apostle tell us, and now abide faith, hope, and love. From this statement, it is clear that hope, too, is very important element for Lord's people. Why? In our race on the narrow way, we have to believe that God, whom we serve, will reward those who serve him, who, as Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 11:6, who diligently seek after him. Why do we believe that God will reward us? Because God gave a promise. Of course, our duty, and Pastor Russell in one place said, our duty to serve God even would be without expecting special reward, because he is our creator, and whatever we have, it is from him. But to run patiently the race on the narrow way, which is full of difficulty and hardship, we need something before our mind which will encourage us, stimulate us to run the race, to follow our Master, of whom it is said in Hebrews 12:2, important too, it said, who for the joy what was before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy was before him, the hope, the promise, and that helped him, that led him to endure difficulty. That's why we see that when God asks someone from his intelligent creature to do something important, to perform some important task, he promised to reward him. In Genesis 12:1-3 we read, now the Lord hath said unto Abraham, get thee out of the country and from city thy, and go from that city, and go to the place I'll show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thee thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee. And thee shall all the family of the earth be blessed. God gave to Abraham promise, but he said, leave that country, go, I will bless you. It was great promise to Abraham. God told him to do so, and Abraham believed it. He believed it and he obeyed. Apostle Paul tells us, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4:3. Following God's command, Abraham encountered many difficulties, but having a strong faith and hope, he obeyed the Lord. And in harmony with this, we read in the same chapter, Apostle Paul writes about Abraham. He said, who against hope believe in hope, the stranger, not at the promise of God through unbelieving, but was strong in the faith and being fully persuaded that God, who has promised, he was able to perform it. He believed that God promised he will perform. Maybe not always in the way we expect it, but he will perform in his ways, and it will be the best for us. So what is the hope for the church? Hope of the high calling. What are the promises for those who are the followers of Jesus? This is an important question. We remember that on one occasion, Apostle Peter asked our Lord similar question. He said, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have? What then? We follow you? He wanted to know. Christ didn't scold him for that. But Christ said, our Lord answered was important promise and one of the earliest. He replied, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In the next text, he said, important, that everyone who does that for his name's sake will receive hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Here was the important promise. Though apostles did not understand that clearly at that time, they did understand that when they received Holy Spirit. And it is, brethren, important for us to know what promises belong to us, and equally important to know what are requirements connected with these promises which should be fulfilled in order that we can really receive those promises. Promises, to promises that attach requirements. Considering the church promises, we have to go back to Abrahamic promise, which proclaim, "In thee and thy seed, all family of the earth will be blessed." As we know, Apostle Paul give us full explanation concerning the seed. He said that seed is the Christ, and those who are in Christ, they are heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. The same apostle in Hebrews 6:17 to 19 give us more explanation along this line. We read, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed by oath, that by immutable thing in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as anchor for soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into the within the veil, second veil." These promises to Abraham were later repeated to Isaac and Jacob, who did not receive them, and the other actually ancient worthy. They didn't receive promise, Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 11:13, but what he said, "But having seen them from far," they saw those things from far, believing, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed, they understood that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, and had a hope. They didn't receive hope, but they believed that they will receive what was in hope. And that was a shining light which lead them. In 11th chapter of Hebrews, Apostle Paul mentioned many faithful men and women of the old. How strong faith they had, how much they suffered for righteousness, and they received good report through faith, but they did not receive the promise. It means they didn't receive what was in that promise. And the reason he explained, Apostle, is that God had provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be perfect. Hebrews 11:40. We admire their faith and their courage, and they are really as the great cloud of witnesses for us. That's why in the other place, Apostle Paul in Romans 15:14 said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we emphasize that through patience we will have comfort and we will have hope." Through the patience and comfort of the scripture, we might have a hope. If we look at those ancient worthy, they encourage us. If any of you inheritance, what is inheritance? Apostle said, respecting the future, hope, because our hope is present and in the future. Future hope. And respecting that, Apostle tell us that in our present hope, we have many promises of about present hope that God will help us. It is said that everything what God permit will work for those who love God, will work for their good. Promises for the church are of two kinds: those which relate to the present time and those which relate to the future. Promises relating to the present times are many, and they tell us that God will lead us, will help us. And if we do from our part what we can to serve God, it is said that all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. Jesus Christ said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things which are necessary for our daily life shall be added to you." That's quite a promise for consecrated people, not to worry for material things. If we serve God, he will provide. We have to believe it. That's great promise. Respecting our spiritual development, Apostle Paul assured us that God, who started that good work in us, he begot us, is able to finish it if we will fully cooperate. If any of you, he said, lack wisdom, James said, let him ask of God that gives of all men liberally, but let him ask in faith without wavering. James 1, 5, 6. Hebrew 13:5. He had said, I will never leave you, never forsake you. Now, about admonishing, respecting the promises. He said, Hebrew 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. We shouldn't waver. Now, Hebrew 10:35, cast not your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. And again, Hebrew 10:13, for you need patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive promise. We have to display patience. And dear brethren, Christians have to have a great patience. Respecting the future, Apostle Paul said, respecting the future promises, a future hope for church. Apostle Paul said this word in Colossians 3:24, that those who serve the Lord will receive the reward of inheritance. The reward of inheritance. We saw that word and we see in the other places, inheritance. And he said, Apostle, that our hope is to receive that reward of inheritance. Those who serve God, what is inheritance? It is some possession, some wealth might be, some richness. To inherit means to get some possession. Usually it was from parents, but not necessary. Isaac inherit everything from his father, Abraham. Not only material goods, but promise of blessing the other people. That's why that promise after was repeated to him. Apostle Paul tell us that those who are son of God are heirs of God and join heirs with Christ. Romans 8:17. Jesus was the son of God. He is the head of church and he is our forerunner, author and finisher of our faith, Apostle said. He was the first heir of God, and he first received his inheritance. What did Jesus receive? In Hebrew 1:2, apostle states that Jesus sat down on the right hand of majesty, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus by inheritance received great name. What more he received? Apostle Paul to Philippians 2:9-10 said, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that as the name that in the name of Christ of Jesus every knee should bow." He received divine nature, great honor and immortality. He became king and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6:20. In Psalm 2:8, prophet said prophetically about Jesus, "As of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession." After his resurrection, Jesus himself told his disciples, "All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me." Matthew 28:18. In the book of Revelation 17:14, we read that the Lamb will defeat his enemy because he is the Lord of the Lords and King of the Kings. And they that are with him, they are called and chosen and faithful. Our inheritance. We are the members of Christ's body. So the promises which refer to him belong to us too. In Hebrews 2:10, Apostle Paul tells us that he, Jesus, did not ashamed to call us brethren. In his prayer, Jesus asked, "Father, I will that they also, whom thou givest me, be with me where I am." John 17:24. "And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." That is a great promise. When we say that our inheritance will be similar to Christ's inheritance, we don't mean exactly the same, because he is firstborn among many brethren who are conformed to his image. Romans 8:28. In Ephesians, Apostle said, 22:23, we read that God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the fullness of him that fulfill all in all. And in Colossians, we read that Apostle Paul said, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, that firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have a preeminence." Christ will have preeminence in all things forever. Referring to our inheritance, Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 1:4, tell us that our inheritance is incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, but is reserved in heaven for us. Our inheritance is reserved in heaven for us. In Hebrews 9:15, Apostle call it everlasting inheritance. So the promise inheritance of the same saint church is honor to glory and immortality, divine nature, and further to share with Christ in the great work of restitution, to bless all mankind, to help them to maintain perfection and everlasting life, It is that what we hope. It is that that apostle prayed that brethren in Ephesians will have a more understanding of that greatness of riches which will in use, it will help them to run the race, difficult race, but the only race which can assure us those difficulty and trials to get an inheritance. In the reprint on page 493 at the beginning is the article The Earnest of the Inheritance, from which we will quote few interesting words. The inheritance of the saints is the crowning theme of all messages to the church since the Pentecost. To the readers of Tower, Watchtower, it is not necessary here to point out the grandeur of the prize for which we are striving. It has been our central theme from the first up to the present time. He said the Tower has endeavored to continually hold it before the church as the goal of their aspiration and to point out with precision and care the narrow way which leads to it and the dangerous snares of the adversary who wants to arrest our progress. Obtaining the inheritance which will be the fulfillment of hope of the true followers of Christ, the church, is connected with the second presence of Christ, with his appearance when the church will be resurrected, exhorting to obedience and to godliness. In this present life, Apostle states, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, Timothy 2:3, looking for that great hope and in appearance. In Colossians 3:2-4, we read, set your affection on things above, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Appearance. Admonishing the elders, the shepherds, to feed the flock of God, not but by constraint, but willingly, Apostle Peter encouraged them, saying, and when the chief shepherd will appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In connection, not like usually nominal churches, they believe that we saints will get reward when they die. They'll get the reward when Christ comes second time. We believe that it's already for greater part of the member of church is a reality that they've been resurrected with Lord and they are with Lord. We are members of Christ's body. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. But we can lose that great position, brethren, that great privileges. That's why Apostle Paul clearly said, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That's the condition. Hebrews 3:14. These great promises of God for his people are not unconditional. There are conditions attached to them which must be met. That's why Apostle Peter, who is telling us about these great promises, admonishes us to give all diligence and to add graces. First he said about, look what great promises we have. And then after he said, with all diligence you add this and this. And then at the end he said, and then abundantly will be given unto you entrance. And then he said another important thing. Brethren, you know about those things. But I feel I proper to admonish, to remind you. Even you know those things. Those things, brethren, have to be reminded. We have to, because we want to have a clear, and they have to be clear, our appreciation of God's greatness, what He gave to us, our position, if we understand, what we strive have to be appreciated and maintained steady, and it has to be reminded. Our convention, anything, gathering, are the means to remind us, brethren. These precious promises and hope, based on them, should stimulate us to zeal and to perform important work in us, work of cleansiness and holiness. Apostle Paul, speaking of the great promises which belong to Lord's people, tell us that having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. And Apostle John said that we will be like our Lord, for we will see Him. And then he said that every man that has this hope purify himself even as he is pure. Those promises, hopes, have to have an influence, impact in that direction, that we will strive to do God's will to our mostly ability. So, dear brethren, according to all testimony of Scripture, we can understand that to create being on the plane of immortality, it is necessary that they be tested first in advance before granting them such a high estate. So with wisdom of creator design, that this be done by starting with the new mind in earthly body, as we are now, developing and testing them now, and when proven worthy, giving them in the resurrection new immortal body. Trials and tribulation are permitted not only for our testing, but they are necessary stepping stones, brethren, to our progress. Transformation of our character comes in conjunction with suffering. We remember this important word of Apostle Paul, that captain of our salvation became perfect through suffering. Hebrews 2:10. And again, though he were a son of God, Christ, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. At the beginning, of Apostle Paul, it is said, I will show him how much he has to suffer for my name. Apostle Peter explained that to us also. He said, now for the season, if need to be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perish, though it tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and honor of glory in appearing of Christ. We said that we will receive our reward, our inheritance in resurrection, if found worthy, to be real members of Christ's body. But the Lord's people, even now, experience great joy, great peace, great satisfaction, because we have a hope. They really are the most happy people, because they have that hope and that earnest, or first installment, what Paul mentioned in Ephesians, we have that earnest, first installment of their inheritance, because they are sealed by Holy Spirit of promise. We have that. The Heavenly Father gave us a basis for our hope, not only in the promises, but also in His dealing with the ancient worthy. It's good to know their living, their life, how they, what experience they had in that past time, as we see how wonderfully he worked in them. We should be encouraged and filled with the joy. If we have faith in the promises, our faith will manifest itself in a joyful behavior. In our words and conduct, we will bring joy and peace to others and not stumbling blocks. When we find ourselves anxious, fearful, or discouraged, there is something the matter, brethren, with our faith and with our hope. We should go to the source of comfort, to the Word, and there be filled with the promises and to revive our hope. Since God is for us, this who is against us? Apostle Paul in Romans 15:13 is giving us encouragement. He said, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit." So, dear brethren, we can only be thankful for that what we receive. We have hope of greater reward. We should be steadfast, zealous. We have many examples, many admonitions. Pastor Russell said in one place, there will be no excuse for anyone because we have an opportunity more than anybody even in the past. We should take that opportunity, show zeal, show faith, and be faithful to the Lord. What I really wish for all brethren, may God add blessing for the world.
Thank you, Brother John. We appreciate that polishing up, as it were, of that wonderful hope that the Lord has set before us in the gospel. That jewel, that gem, he reminded us of this hope that the world, the flesh, and the devil are going to try and dim and discolor this hope in our lives and take it from us. So we must take from the lesson that to be on the alert against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the comprehension of the richness of our inheritance, the present inheritance of the church, and it's beautiful to know that there is the future inheritance, which brings in the world of mankind. So what we enjoy now and hope for, it is not just something to be selfishly held by a few, but the whole objective is to prepare a class of people for the time of blessing all mankind. Thank you, Brother John, for these reminders. And now we'll recess for half an hour. We'll be back in our seats again. And we ask the Lord to dismiss us with his blessing. Number 159. And to remember that this love possessing, all this, as Brother John did remind us, is to triumph in redeeming grace. In redeeming grace. The power of the Holy Spirit. So we are thankful for the prospects of the church. And then to share the glorious future with all of mankind and lift them up. Thank you. Now, 159, and we'll have a half hour. Be back in our seats.